This is the Development Locker podcast, and this is your weekly investment in your development as you continue your transition through life and academy football. In season three, we bring you even more episodes, more guests who you can connect with, and even more insight into individuals like you who have a similar experiences in pursuing a career in the professional game. Over the next 11 months and 48 episodes, we aim to cover the key topics you will face along your journey. From the challenges you will have to overcome, the ups, the downs, and many experiences along the way. We will be here every week to discuss the current issues in your lives, support you in your journey, and continue your development to being the best version of you. In your interviews from the locker. This week's guest is a driven, passionate, and inspirational individual. Someone who has truly seized every opportunity that has come her way in the pursuit of improving the lives of young people she works with and being instrumental in their development of their performances too. Eleanor is an academy nutritionist for Nottingham Forest, a prestigious club and an academy that is operating at Category 1 status. From her placement position to inheriting a blank canvas, what she has achieved already is pretty impressive, I have to say. As you will find out over the next 40 minutes or so, is that Eleanor isn't finished yet. As you will hear, she has aspirations to further improve not just the nutrition provision within the academy, but will continue to fight tirelessly for the recognition and standing of nutrition in academy football too. So, let's get to the main event on what you're here for as we bring you your next interview from the locker. Welcome back, everyone. And we move on to nutrition. And we have a very special guest from a club that is currently in the Premier League and somebody who's doing some very good work there. So, Eleanor, we're going to get straight into the questions as we always do. And it's probably a difficult one for you to answer, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Why nutrition and why football? Out of all the sports you probably could have chose, why football?
So I guess football's always been quite a big aspect of my life. I've been playing football since I was very young and I've been a season ticket holder at, I don't know, a club I might not want to mention, but at Spurs. I guess my sort of passion for nutrition kind of stemmed not essentially from football, because, I mean, sport nutrition has always been what it started off as, quite a niche market, let's say, and it's only really taken off in the last 3 decades or so. And, like, I didn't go to university to study sport nutrition. I actually do human biology at Loughborough University. And I sort of, from doing my undergrad, I chose modules that were nutrition-based. And then from that, my sort of passion for it grew further. I then went on, well, currently I'm on my placement year at Nottingham Forest as a nutrition intern. I was looking every morning for a place. I remember I used to wake up in the morning and just search on Google nutrition placements in football. And every day I was just disappointed because I couldn't find anything. And then one came up at Forest and I sort of just channeled all my energy into the application. And yeah, here I am today. And I think I'm doing quite well so far in the industry, and I want to keep it up and go on to do a master's as well.
Well, I have to probably correct you there, because I don't think you're doing quite well. I think you're doing extremely well. So, yeah, it's all good. So, without putting you on the spot and maybe annoying your current employers, is Spurs going to be the dream job for you then, is it? Or is it just you're just wanting to kind of really see where your career takes you? Have you got kind of aspirations of how far you want to go within the football industry?
I mean, it would be lovely to work at the club I support. Some may say it's not the best idea, but...
Is that so you can get a free season ticket, though?
No. I already go to most games. But, my aspiration is to just be within a Premier League environment. I ideally want to experience first-team environment as well. I'd like to go abroad and just kind of see how nutrition varies and across maybe Europe. see like different cuisines and how footballers, international footballers take nutrition, if they take it more seriously in comparison to footballers over here.
And I suppose it's interesting that then the comparison is it from, you know, Nottingham Forest now being, a Premier League club, and, surely there's a little bit of difference between, your club and Spurs and the different ways. And I suppose that's quite intriguing, is it, in that way. And I suppose your journey at the moment, like you said about your studying. So in terms of human biology, have you taken anything from that? Is there any crossover that comes into kind of nutrition, or was it just kind of maybe whetting the appetite a little bit of your learning, your development, and the start of the journey that you're on?
Okay, I mean, about half of my modules were quite sport nutrition based, so it kind of gave me a taste for it, and I've just further worked on it. So like my placement at Forest, I was kind of liaising with the first team nutritionist, and then I kind of had a blank canvas in the academy, really, because there was no previous nutritionist. So I was able to carry out like my own research. The club funded me to go on an ISAC level one course. So like I'm now qualified in doing body compositions, which are quite more predominant now in like the football world. Like coaches kind of are quite interested to see like how their players are in terms of like their body fat percentages, because at the end of the day, the leaner a player is, the better they perform on the pitch.
And you said about the blank canvas there, so how hard is that, or is that an easy thing for somebody who is, like you said, you know, kind of fresh on their learning journey but eager to impress? Is that a good thing that you can almost put whatever your stamp on it, or is it quite hard because you haven't got a reference point, something to, you know, kind of build upon? Was it easy or hard, that bit?
I'd say it was quite overwhelming, because academy football in general is just such a large setup in terms of facilities and staff. And obviously Forest being a Cat 1 academy as well, like everything is taken at quite a serious level. And obviously when I initially went there, there was no previous nutritionist. And yeah, it was quite overwhelming because you've got over 100 kids to deal with in the academy. And I didn't really have a concrete strategy to begin with. That's why I had to liaise with the first team nutritionist quite a lot. I tuned in on loads of different conferences, and I was quite lucky actually that someone I worked with in the club, he had links with other Premier League nutritionists, so I was meeting with them via Teams quite regularly just to see what kind of their day-to-day role looked like, so that I could implement that at Forest. I wanted to give the players at Forest a sort of chance to really improve their nutrition. So having a blank canvas, I say, it has been excellent. It's been a brilliant opportunity for me to like roll things the way I wanted to do it. I work there day-to-day at the minute, and I mean, in the near future, I intend on doing a master's, and it would be good if I can carry on my work at Forest and use the players and studies and have a sort of combined research practitioner role.
Oh, sounds brilliant. And then in terms of that blank canvas then, to what was the first thing that you did? What did you feel? Because, you know, in nutrition, there must be, you know, a million and one things to do. Like you said, you know, academy football can be very overwhelming. I kind of use the analogy of like a treadmill. It's hard to get off, and when you are off, it's hard to get back on it again. What was the first thing that you did? What was the kind of priority that you got across in your plans for the players at Nottingham Forest Academy?
Well, because I started in pre-season, I think the first sort of step I took was education. I started before they started the season, like really in-depth workshops, not only with the players, but also the parents, because obviously you've got children in the YDP, which are in the range of under 12s to under 16s, and then you've got the FP, which are under 7s to as well. So it's like I had a big range of players to sort of deal with, and obviously nutrition, it's different in like a youth athlete to a senior athlete, especially in football. And I think I really had to work with the parents of the younger players, because I don't think there was that much knowledge around how important it is for these younger players to fuel correctly, because they're not only fueling for their performance, they're also fueling for like their growth and development. There's loads of metabolic, physiological and hormonal changes at that age, and so like the younger players, they have reduced glycolytic capabilities, so this sort of means that they can't really store glycogen as well as older players and senior players. So there's a sort of need for them to sort of drip feed carbohydrates throughout the day. And from a health perspective and from like a parent's point of view, they might be thinking, oh, it's too many carbs for my child. But they really need to kind of understand that they are under intense training sessions and they've got to juggle their social life, their school life and their football life all together. So, yeah, so I had to kind of, I've got my own philosophy of doing, say, like a bottom-up approach and kind of working with the parents and the players and then from there sort of developing a scheme and a schedule together.
Well, that sounds good. And then in terms of that, is the, you talked about kind of, you know, your blank canvas and the first things that you got across and, you know, it kind of be football can be overwhelming, but is there any kind of current trends that you see across football in academy football or specifically within your club that's now becoming a bit of a current issue in nutrition? Is it kind of under fueling or under hydrating? Is there a current trend that you see at this moment in time?
I mean, I guess like a massive thing in academy football and just football in general is sort of nutrition periodization, where players are just fueling for the work required. There's like many testing that like clubs can do with their players to help figure out how many calories players require. It's really important that the younger players are getting enough calories because it can lead to things like stunted growth. They might not reach their potential adult height if they're not fueling correctly, and this could be the difference between them going on and becoming a professional player and not becoming a professional player if they're not fueling correctly. Essentially, these academy players are fueling for the demands of senior match play. So I think what I've kind of had to drill into the players is what you eat now is going to affect you in the long run. And that's a sort of philosophy that kind of filters throughout from Forest first team, well, not first team, filters throughout the whole academy at Forest, really.
Yeah, it's a good philosophy to have. And I think it is often overlooked, isn't it? I think a lot of the times we probably stereotype, pigeonhole young lads of eating far too much or eating the wrong things when, like you said, and there's a few studies that have come out recently of those players who are just, you know, underfueling or not getting enough calories. And it can be, like you've also said there, and it's not just about performance, it's about, you know, quality of life. And, you know, ultimately it might end up being, you know, a detrimental thing in not just their current development, but their future one. In terms of that then, do you... And it's probably a little bit outside academy football here, but I'm going to ask it, is there kind of is a calorie a calorie? Are they good calories, bad calories? So you're saying that there's a current trend of academy players not getting enough calories. Is that just a case of getting calories on board, or is there, you know, a correct way of doing that? You know, is there a better calorie over another one?
I mean, there's sort of testing you can do on players to figure out how many calories they require. But this is something called, I don't know, indirect calorimetry, which is where like you work out like a player's resting metabolic rate. And then from that, you can kind of figure out how many calories they require. But I mean, there's equations as well. And I think a lot of clubs are starting to look at equations to figure out how many calories these players need. But these equations sort of underestimate how many calories. And in like under 18 players, there's huge ranges, but some can burn around like 5,100 calories in a day. Like there are really huge like peaks, and in general like an under 18s player would burn around 3,400 calories in a day. And I think like sort of the best way of doing it in an ideal scenario is to have around not six meals but three solid meals and factor in times to snack in between breakfast and lunch and dinner, and also to have like a pre-sleep snack. And what I always say to players is to have something high in like casein protein, which is sort of like your slow release protein. Have that before you sleep. That will provide like a constant flow of amino acids whilst the player's catching sleep. So there's sort of shortcuts that players can sort of take on board to just help with that extra, just that extra step to get their calories in. And like obviously the hybrid boys, the ones that do it at school and stuff as well, it's really difficult for them because they're coming from school to go to training. And something I want to start doing is little pit stops, like pit stops with little snacks that the players can have before training. We also offer, obviously, at Forest, we have like a buffet meal for all players after they finish their training. But I think it would be good if something in the changing rooms, they can sort of maybe have a smoothie or something high in GI, so something quite fast release, give them that sort of immediate energy to go on and train after school.
Yeah, and it's interesting you say about stuff like that. I mean, you already had me at pre-bedtime snack. I think I should be addressing that normally, messing. It's a serious stuff, isn't it, in terms of nutrition. And like you said, the individual needs of players, from foundation phase to the hybrid players, the pit stop sounds like a really good idea. So you mentioned, you know, a little bit about your approach and your philosophy, and you mentioned about educating players and parents. So what approach do you take with those two groups in terms of educating players and educating the parents? Is it a different approach? Do you deliver the same content but in a slightly different way? What's your approach with educating your players and parents?
I think for the younger players, my presentation is obviously more simplified. I just want them to sort of understand like the basic things I want to get across. But with the parents, I kind of go more into the science, because at the end of the day, the parents are sort of providing the food for the players essentially. And with the older boys, with the PDP players, the ones that are living in host families and stuff, I work with the host families as well. Like, I regularly meet with some of the boys' as parents, especially the ones. So we undertake anthropometric analysis like once a month, which is where I do the boys' skin folds. And then from there, some of the boys might need a diet plan or some sort of intervention. So I have to work with the host families, and we do like cooking workshops where we now look at like recovery snacks, because recovery is like a massive thing now in the game, and there's new obviously like startup companies that help make better recovery drinks, like personalized nutrition as well. That's another thing that's like growing in the industry.
How hard is that though for you, because you know, like you said, you come in and a blank canvas. Yeah. You're on placement. You're clearly very passionate and very aspirational about the impact you want to do. How realistic is that? Is it just you? Have you got a team around you? How realistic would be that to individualize? Like you said, nearly over 100 players at the academy. Is that something that you're going to work towards over the coming seasons, or is that something you feel is achievable kind of coming to next season?
Yeah, it's hard to juggle, obviously, all of those players. I mean, it is just me that does the nutrition program, so it has been really difficult. But I have spent most of my time with the PDP players, the ones that are fighting for contracts. So I'm, especially now, I'm channeling most of my time into the ones that are, they're the second year scholars now, and it's the time between them obviously getting a pro contract or not getting a pro contract. And then with the younger lot, I kind of spend more time with parent education, because as I've already said, ultimately they're the ones dictating their son's diet.
Yeah, true. And I think it's an important one to understand that. I mean, yeah, them being kind of the coaches at home or your little mini nutritionist at home, they're the ones who are purchasing the food, preparing the food. So it's, yeah, I suppose it is important. It's a very good approach that you take in there. And in terms of then academy players, what do you see from your players, where those players who excel in terms of their nutritional practices, what can some of our listeners pick up from that in terms of, you know, little easy wins or approaches or kind of ways that they approach their nutritional strategy?
Well, obviously, the ones that are, there's obviously more, some that are more receptive, but there's obviously the key message is, having a good nutrition could be the difference between becoming a potential player and not becoming a potential player. So in terms of like, I'd say apps like sort of MyFitnessPal and stuff, they're obviously good things to get to try track calories and sort of monitor what you're eating. But in terms of sort of like top tips, I'd say it's quite a difficult question, actually.
Sorry.
Nutrition is a massive thing. And for me, I'd say take a food first approach. Like, it's that's sort of every nutritionist's piece of advice. You assimilate and process nutrients from food. And if you have a balanced diet, there's less a need of having supplements which don't have essential phytochemicals. And they having food first approach, you get maximum amount of energy from your food. So just having whole foods, and obviously you can not slack, but you can I try and tell players not to have Mackies and stuff like that, because there's something, obviously there's something called a protein leverage hypothesis, and it's where we keep eating until we reach our maximal protein requirements. So if you're having like a fast food takeaway, that's more saturated and it's lower in protein, so you're going to have to eat and you'll overeat, and we don't want to be overeating as players, because you want to keep your body fat low, you want to be as lean as you can, and you want to be getting like maximum amount of protein and carbs, good macronutrient ratios from whole food. So I'll say, yeah, a food first approach is the way to go, really. And it, would you say, is there a need for supplementation if you have a perfect diet? That's probably like what people maybe question. And I'll say supplementation can be viewed in many different ways, because as athletes, they're more inclined to like getting things like upper respiratory tract infections. So consuming like vitamin D on a daily can help reduce chances of getting that. And right. Also, obviously, in like the winter months, there's like less sun. So yeah, from a nutritionist point of view, I'd advise taking supplements like vitamin D. And then obviously, if players claim to think they still have a perfect diet, even things like they might have micronutrient deficiencies, like genetics, they might be low in iron. So there is a big need for like supplementation, I believe. And things like, you can't get everything from food, like creatine, like you can't get an optimal amount of creatine from food. Like you'd have to eat so much steak to get the right amount of creatine. So yeah, I don't know. I feel like supplementation is now is a massive thing now in the nutrition industry. And obviously there's loads of myths which exist with like creatine and hair loss, and that's something I'll change in the nutrition world, the myths. But yeah, I think nutrition, like supplementation and recovery, are now two new innovative things in the industry.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. You mentioned the supplementation part of it, and I think you kind of already answered it a little bit, but I suppose to go a little bit deeper on that one, do you feel that there's certainly a miseducation piece with some players who are just taking those supplements because they either see a first team player taking them, or they feel that that's what is the expectation, the norm, or almost like a status symbol? So, you know, the classic, you know, it used to be, you know, protein shake, and it'd be like you question a player going, right, what is it you're taking? Why are you taking it now? The timing, the amount. But now I think that the common trend is all these beetroot shots, turmeric and things of that nature. Is it dangerous to kind of do that without the education piece? Because even with the best will in the world and as good as you are, you can't be on call for every one of these players for every single kind of decision they're going to be making in terms of what they're consuming. Is there things to avoid out there in terms of supplementation, or is it around that education piece of just kind of telling them what good practice is?
I think education is at the sort of forefront of knowing whether you should take a supplement or not. But I mean, I'm around the first team quite a bit, and I've seen like the first team players are more like, in my opinion, they're more proactive. They want to make sure they get their supplements and their vitamins, whereas the academy boys are a bit more like, if it's there, like sometimes I'll fill up their vitamin pots and some might fail to take them. But when it comes more to the performance supplements, like tart cherry to help with like muscle inflammation, and the turmeric shops to help again with anti-inflammatory properties in the muscles, they're more inclined to do it. If the player's if it's drilled into a player that this is going to make you a better player, this is going to help you recover, this is going to prepare you for the next game, they are more inclined to taking it. But yeah, I think a lot of the players are quite sensible. They wouldn't really take something without sort of asking. And obviously there's, you need to make sure products are informed sport as well, because if they're not informed sport, they could be contaminated, and then obviously with anti-doping. So yeah, I think education is the main thing behind supplementation.
Yeah, no, I totally agree, and I think you're doing, you know, a terrific job in terms of that education piece. I think it's important, because I think whether it's nutrition, psychology, you know, whatever discipline within sports science, I think a lot of people who were new to it and you're not anymore will probably go in and think that, you know, you probably, I don't know, maybe naively went into Nottingham Forest and thought that, oh, you know, some of the players will know what to be doing and whatnot. And it is sometimes quite shocking, isn't it, how little they know about some of the basic nutritional information and practices. And I think the education piece is very important, and clearly you know that, you've recognised that in putting your strategy in place. In terms of changes then, so things change all the time, trends come in, trends go. Is there one thing that you would change in the world of nutrition? And if it is, you know, what would you change and why?
I think nutrition is quite overshadowed by other disciplines within the sports science and medical department. I feel like people don't quite comprehend its importance and how it can be the difference between an academy player reaching their peak height and going on to becoming the next tallest and best centre back in the Prem. I mean, also another thing I think people need to be aware as well, a player could be doing all the extras in the gym, but if they're not in a calorie surplus or if they're in a deficit, they're not going to reach their maximum goals. So I do think nutrition needs to be thoroughly intertwined with a player's S&C programs to maximize benefits. And yeah, I would love all like the myths to be discarded. Unless there's concrete scientific evidence, I think people need to stop believing some things which are in the media.
Why do you think nutrition is overlooked? Because I'm sure everybody listening to this will agree it's massively important. If not, and it's not about a ranking system here and saying what department is more important than the other, but we all eat as human beings. We all have to fuel ourselves, whether it's we're an academy footballer, a teacher, a train driver, whatever it may be, we all have to eat to survive. Why do you feel that in such an elite environment that, you know, nutrition is maybe not overlooked, but I think isn't given the respect and certainly the investment, the personnel? Like you said, you're pretty much on your own within the academy. You've got somebody within the first team environment to kind of share good practice with and whatnot. But why do you think it's kind of overlooked and not as heavily invested as other departments in academy football?
I think purely because it's only really been big in the last 3 decades or so. I think coaches probably aren't really used to maybe working with nutritionists, and they might just think like, oh, it's just fuel, isn't it? Food's just fuel. But people need to understand that different types of foods help you in different ways. Like a plus one meal, a match day plus one meal looks completely different to a match day minus two meal. Like there are reasons why nutritionists are recommending different foods and like recovery foods. Like it's all been proven to help, even if it's just going to help improve the performance by like 3-4%. Coaches and everyone should just be willing to be educated. And I think moving forward, I think what I would like to do is maybe educate the sports science and medical and the coaches and educate individual departments so that the staff have an understanding of it as well, and not just me telling the players, so that everyone sort of can understand how much of a part nutrition can play in a player's development.
Yeah, no, it surprises me even now. And, you know, when you said you're on your own, that didn't surprise me because, you know, the club that I work for, you know, we don't have a designated nutritionist, so you're already ahead of the game on that one. And I think, you know, a lot of people struggle, I think, with experience. A lot of the time it's psychology and nutrition. And I'm not just saying this because you're, you know, featuring on this week's episode, but I'm flabbergasted that even now, when, like you said, we're talking about the elite, your Cat 1, your Premier League, you know, even whether it's your Cat 2, Cat 3, that to really supplement their performance, to give them the best opportunity of being the best that they can be to get a professional contract, which is their dream, which is why we all do the jobs that we do, to produce and develop players. Yet the finances, the infrastructure, the facilities for psychology and nutrition, it still flabbergasts me today that it's not probably up there with other departments. But I suppose that then it leaves a massive gap for people like yourself to fill and to really kind of champion the work that you're doing. And are supposed to be a, you know, a champion of nutrition. And, you know, I'm sure you will change the landscape moving forward on that one. And speaking of moving forward and kind of the future, you've already touched upon about supplements and things of that nature and the reasons why. Do you see supplementation being even more of a bigger thing in the future, or do you feel it's going to be kind of back to basics in terms of making sure you're getting the right macro and micronutrients? How do you see kind of nutrition going in the future?
I think the basics are the most fundamental, and make sure you're getting the right, there's enough macronutrients, and you're also having your micronutrients to reinforce the energy produced from macronutrients. But I think especially with injuries, like there's different phases of recovery that require supplementation to enhance like repair processes, as like certain nutrients will be required in far larger quantities than the diet alone can supply with like certain soft tissue injuries. Like collagen can be administered to players to help with tissue regeneration, omega-3 to control inflammation, and vitamin C to like prevent excessive free radical production, because that can like impair the healing process. So like not everything is possible to it, not everything can be its best without supplementation, is sort of what I believe. Like, yeah. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, and obviously there are like new sort of supplements like beta alanine, which increases like carnosine production in the muscles, which helps delay the onset of fatigue. It like reduces the amount of acidosis, so you can like go on to exercise for longer. And another one that's quite abundant is L-citrulline, which when we spoke about the beetroot shot, so L-citrulline, what it does is it helps increase the production of L-arginine, which then increases the amount of nitric oxide that you have in the body. And nitrate shots like the beetroot shots, they're used quite frequently, but there's been a lot of research actually that in most elite athletes it's not really that effective, because like they've already kind of, their muscles have kind of got to the point where more nitric oxide than they're already getting from the diet doesn't really help. And there's also studies like saying that someone with more type 2 fibers responds better to a nitrate shot than someone that has more type 1 fibers. So there's loads of research, and I know loads of players now, they undergo genetic testing, like they look at how many adenosine receptors they have to administer certain doses of caffeine. Like I know Emerson Royale at Spurs, he has like a personalized nutritionist, and he tries to get the optimum amount of each supplement to boost his performance. He invested a lot of money actually into that.
Yeah, there's quite a few, isn't there? I know when Sadio Mane was at Liverpool, he had a, you know, personal chef and a nutritionist, and I think recently is Ronaldo advertised for one. I think that's on a stupid amount of money each week, each month, each year. But I suppose I'm just jealous by throwing that in there. But yeah, I suppose if it was to push in, you talked about supplementation, you talked about various ones. If there's an academy player or a young professional listening to this who isn't taking any supplement, and I know it's difficult because like you said, it's about the individual, and you know, you probably don't want to be giving the incorrect advice and a lad going out and getting loads of beetroot shots and downing them like they're going out of fashion. But is the an easy win in terms of supplementation that somebody can be listening to this and think, oh right, you know Ellen is saying I need to get out and get this one, or this is could be the key to making that sure that they've achieved their maximum potential?
I'd say, so you kind of want to get in around 25 grams of protein every 3 to 4 hours. And that can be pretty difficult to get solely from meals. Like you want to be time effective as well. And obviously all the boys are quite busy with their schedules and et cetera. So I'd say whey protein shakes as a sort of afternoon snack after a gym session. That can just be like, it will just help you reach your nutrient requirements. It shouldn't be as a replacement of a meal, but it will just help you meet your nutrient requirements quicker. And another thing, like after games, if a player doesn't have access to whey protein, Yazoos are used quite frequently because they have quite a good macronutrient ratio. I think it's a 4-to-1 ratio of carbs to protein. And that would just help replenish glycogen stores and give you that protein you need for muscle repair and recovery. And it also will replace lost calories because of all the simple sugars and stuff that are in the drink. So, yeah, a lot of the younger boys at the academy who don't obviously like might not have access to whey protein because it's kind of more advertised to older athletes. They have like Yazoos after their games and stuff just to, because essentially recovery starts in the changing rooms, like within 30 minutes after the 90 minute game's finished. It starts from the locker room recovery. So getting a Yazoo is just a really quick and time effective way of just replenishing lost stores. And it also has added electrolytes as well, so it helps with rehydration too.
See, I knew you were good because you've even answered my next question, because even when you were saying that, I was thinking, oh, what about for the younger age lads? And you've already answered that one. And that's why we've got you on the podcast. So, yeah, brilliant. I think there's a couple of questions to finish off. One not as tricky as the other, but I'll let you decide which one's the tricky one. But next question really is, terms of a career. So you're saying about how nutrition probably isn't as respected or as supported within academy football and professional football than other departments. Would you, I suppose, that a two-parter, would that put you off knowing what you know now? If you kind of going backwards, would that have put you off going into a career of nutrition if you knew kind of it would be you on your own with a blank canvas? Or are you glad you've made that kind of leap of faith and doing what you're doing?
No, absolutely not. If anything, it's made me more motivated. I've wanted to like invest more time into it. Like, I'm always around like management at Forest. I'm just like, let's get this, let's get that. This is but I'm quite ambitious and I'm quite passionate about what I do. And I kind of like how it's just me. And it's like, I can just portray things how I want to portray things. I can do the research. Like I do like it. And if I go back in time, would I want to go into a career again? 100%. Like, I'm just ready to excel. Like, I want to do my sport nutrition masters now. I want to learn more. I want to work with more nutritionists. Like, I really can't wait and for the future, see what it holds.
That's good. And speaking of future, so if there's anybody listening to this, whether it's academy player, young professional, or somebody who is wanting to get involved in the world of academy football, have you any words of wisdom, any kind of piece of advice on those who are even just thinking about wanting to take those first steps towards becoming a nutritionist in sport?
I'd say be front foot, talk to people, make stuff happen, don't wait for them to happen. Engage with the players, like forming a solid relationship, I believe, is at the core of success. As they begin to trust you and respect you, they'll reach out to you more and try and incorporate a philosophy that undertakes a bottom-up approach, centre the nutrition programme around their habits, find out what they are doing with their nutrition, and then from there, work your way up. So, yeah, I'd just say just back yourself, really, and just invest as much time as you can into researching more and finding more about what you like doing.
Oh, that's great. And you can tell from every word that you're speaking that you certainly back yourself and rightly so. I suppose that brings us on to the last question, and a similar question that we ask every guest at the end of their episode is any lasting piece of advice for our listeners. So I'll let you choose. Is that going to be to parents? Is that going to be to players? Is that going to be to, you know, other people who are working in the academy world of football? You know, any lasting piece of advice that you want to leave our listeners with?
I think I'll give a bit of advice to the players first, but I think it's their career. Like, nobody's going to do it for them. If they want to be their best, they're going to have to do it themselves. Like, obviously the nutrition is there to give the guidance, but ultimately they're the ones that are going to have to make the right choice about what they put in their body. So it could be the difference between having a career and not having a career. So if a nutritionist was to say, if taking zinc supplements can help reduce how long you have cold symptoms for, the player knows that it's up to them to say, oh look, I'm getting cold symptoms now, like, let me go to the shop, let me get some zinc tablets just to help boost my zinc levels and make me feel better quicker. It's sort of just they need to take their own initiative to then do what's right. It's all well and good a nutritionist giving them the guidance, giving them the advice. They need to be proactive with it afterwards. And get in terms of parents, I think the parents at Forest, they really like the workshops and they're really like inclined to helping their child feel better for their career, so that's always quite refreshing to see.
No, that's good. And I've not been privy to your workshops, but I'm sure if you come across like you have just done over the last 30-40 minutes in terms of what we've discussed and the responses you've given to the questions, I can see that A, Nottingham Forest are very lucky to have you, and B, so are the parents and players who are involved. I'm sure they've taken on board lots of advice that you're giving. And I always write notes when I'm doing these recordings, and the one thing that stands out for me really right at the end there is, yeah, nobody's going to do it for you. And I think we can all give these young lads the best support in the world, whether it's psychology, whether it's education, nutrition, physical, whatever it may be, they've got to do it for themselves. And I think that's if that's one message that our listeners are left with, I think that's a good point to end on. And I suppose on that note, I want to thank you for your time, Eleanor. It's been brilliant to have a chat with you, you know, in terms of, you know, lots of things, nutrition. I've learned plenty. I'm sure our listeners have learned plenty, whether they're players, parents, coaches, other academy staff, people who are just interested in academy football. So yeah, thank you on behalf of our listeners. Thank you on behalf of me. It's been great to chat with you.
No, thank you.
Pretty impressive, huh? I love talking with Eleanor, not because I'm as passionate about nutrition as she is. Let's be honest, who is? But because she sets the example we can all follow. By that, I mean seizing the opportunities presented to us, being on the front foot and having that attitude that nobody is going to do it for you. Opportunities come few and far between in life, never mind football. So if you've earned that place on the team, secured that registration or signed that professional contract, why would you not seize that opportunity? From a nutrition perspective, do everything you can, take on board all the advice and fuel yourself correctly. Being proactive is what I took from Eleanor and her be on the front foot. So if you're listening to this, go into your academy or club and have that conversation with the person who is responsible for your nutritional support. Ask those questions, seek out information, and get preparing now for your next session or game. We work and perform in a world that others probably don't understand, but also one where there is a culture that everything is done for you or the opinion that it should be. But in reality, no one is going to do it for you, and why should they? Help yourself, take ownership over your own development, and be accountable for your preparation and resulting performances. Next week, we have Matt Young, an ex-professional player who has transitioned into becoming a mindset coach for some elite clubs. To find out more, you know where to find us as we bring you more interviews from the locker. Thanks for listening to this week's episode, and we hope you have taken many key messages away with you. But the next part is down to you now, by putting these into action. If you'd like today's episode, feel free to tell us on our various social media platforms, where you can find us at @thelocker_UK. For guest recommendations, future topics to be discussed, or you simply want to reach out, you can do so by emailing us on thedevelopmentlocker@gmail.co.uk. Remember to share this episode and our platform with your teammates, friends in football, or anyone you feel would benefit from it. So, what are you waiting for? But you're not done yet, as we look forward to seeing you next week when we bring you another interview from the locker.